The second method is the method adopted by Muslim mystics and Sufis. So we have many books, many collections of poems written and compiled with this method. For example, like books by Khaja Abdullah Ansari, such as Manazil al-Sa'irin, or for example, even Masnavi by Rumi. All these have the mystical or the Sufi approach to akhlaq. But the difference between the people such as, for example, Rumi, or for example, people such as Ibn Arabi, all these people, the difference is there. We do not want to say that they are all the same, as I will inshallah explain later. You will see that inside the mystical or the Sufi order, there are differences. And also I have to emphasize that when I repeat mystical and Sufi way, I do not mean that these two terms are the same. Of course, sometimes they might be used in the place of each other, but Sufism is different from mysticism. And Shahid Mutahari has a good explanation of the difference between Sufism and mysticism. If you study his introduction to Irfan, which is published in At-Tawheed, the journal At-Tawheed, and also in the Light Within Me, he says that from the early history of Islam, there were some people who were very much interested in spirituality. And these people gradually formed a special way of behavior, and they formed even a special social class. They had their own way of behaving, even their own way of dressing, their own way of even dressing their hair. And when we want to refer to these people from their social aspect, we call them Sufis. When we want to refer to them from their scientific aspect, we call them Arif. So this is the difference. And then later, after, for example, 10th century, then Sufism and mysticism separated from each other. Now, after 10th, 11th century, we have people who are expert in Irfan, here real Arif, without being necessarily committed to the Sufi way of life. Such as great Arif that we have, like for example Allama Tabatabai, or for example many other people that we know. And on the other hand, we have Sufis, still we have Sufis, that they might not know anything about Irfan, because Irfan has become so technical and so complicated and sophisticated, that even people who are Sufis, they might not know anything about the theoretical Irfan. So now you might have Sufis who are not Arif and Arif who are not Sufi, but you might have Sufis who are Arif. So there is an overlap here. Anyway, we don't want to discuss about this matter. Just I wanted to say that when I say mystical and Sufi, I don't want to say that these two are equivalent to each other. So in this way of dealing with akhlaq, first of all, they tell us that we should take akhlaq as a journey, not as something static. Why? Because human being is like a plant that grows. You put a seed in the soil and you give it nourishment, sufficient water and sun and everything, and then take care of that until it becomes, for example, a flower and then bears flower and you can use it. It's like a plant that grow. It's not like a house that you want to decorate. Because in the first approach, they suppose that human being is like a house and you have to decorate. You have to paint it, you have to put some pictures, you have to have some, for example, beautiful curtains or carpets or something like this. So human being has to be equipped and decorated with beautiful characters. But in the mystical way, they say, no, human being is in a process of being something. So you have the departure point, which is, for example, Yakze, the first point to start your spiritual journey is to become awake, because many people are asleep. As Hadith says, "Annas niyamun hatta azamatun tabahu." People are sleeping. When they die, then they become conscious. But unfortunately, it's too late. That's not the time for waking up. So the first point in the spiritual journey is Yakze, is to wake up and to realize that we should do something, we should take care of ourselves. And then is, for example, repentance. And goes on, and different people have mentioned different stages. Some have mentioned 50 stages, some have mentioned more. So there are different stages, and one of the good books is Manazil al-Sa'ireen by Khaja Abdullah Ansari. He mentions 50 stages that a person will pass through them. And the destination for Arif is to get close to Allah, and even more, not just close to Allah, to merge into deity. Of course, we cannot become the deity, but it means that you will lose your own identity, your own self, and then you become a part of divine. Of course, with a difficulty which there exists in the explanation of the concept of being identified with the deity. Because here we should be very careful not to have that type of thinking that, for example, exists in the Trinity or something like this. It's totally different. If I want to explain very briefly, I have to say that each of us has two aspects. One is our being, our existence, which is our reality, and then our nature or our whatness, which is indeed the border of our reality. What distinguishes you from the other being is the border of your existence. For example, if you have a triangle and you have a square, suppose that you have a piece of paper in the form of triangle and another in the form of square. Both are made of paper, the same material, the same quality. What makes them distinguish from each other is the border. The triangle and square is related to the border of the thing. Or in other words, to what they lack, not to what they possess. Okay? So when you have triangle, it means that this being is surrounded by these three lines. There is no such a being outside it. Okay? So each of us is a limited being. And as far as we are limited beings, we are different from each other. But if we can get rid of ourselves and become selfless, then there will be no boundaries. Me and you can be together the same thing. There will be no difference between us, and then we all together can be this the same being, and we can be also part of the divine reality. Of course, it has to be carefully understood. We don't mean that we can become God, or for example, we add something to God. No, it's just a matter of realizing our nothingness. For example, if you look at the waves in the river, in the ocean, okay? You have really waves. Some are very, for example, long and high. Some waves are very small. Okay? There are really waves. These waves, when they look at each other, suppose that these waves are looking at each other, or we look at them, we find them different. Okay? But if someone can go beyond the differences of these waves, then they will realize that there is nothing other than ocean. It is just the ocean that has different manifestations. So we are just manifestations of God. We are not apart from God. So if we realize that we are just manifestation, then we will understand that we are nothing other than God. Anyway, this is the ultimate point that RF aims at. So it's not just something that they say it. They realize it in their life. So they will no longer consider themselves as something separate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the destination, and that is the departure, and you have stages. So this is the beautiful thing in the mystical approach, that according to each person, according to each stage that a person resides, they will tell you different descriptions. If you are in the stage of, for example, Tawbah, you have to do this and this. If you are, for example, in the stage of hope, you have to do this and this. If you have to stage of, for example, fear, you should do this and that. Such as, for example, Munajat Khamsat Ashar, the 15 Munajat by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, that each Munajat is suitable for a special group of person. Some is, for example, for those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some for those who feel poverty, some for those who are hopeful, some for those who want to repent, and those who want to be thankful and the like. But let me also tell the third one and then come to the second again. The third approach is a type of approach which is a type of akhlaq which is based on hadith. There are some books, like for example, Ihya ul-Ulum by Ghazali in the Sunni world, and Al-Mahajjatul Bayza by Mullah Muhsin Faizi Kashani, a great Shia scholar. These books are very useful and very good books, but their method is mostly based on narrations, on hadith. So what they mostly do is that they name, they list moral attributes, moral characters, and then for each character they list relevant hadith. For example, about modesty, about, for example, telling truth, about honesty, about bravery. About these things, they list hadith that are related to these characters. And of course, in hadith there are many, many insightful explanations, directions, instructions, but they do not make a system out of it. Mostly, they do not make a system. Of course, some of them make system, but mostly, they do not make a system out of it. They just tend to be very descriptive, just listing hadith.